Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Bert. I'm the lead pastor at True North Community Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. I'm going to have a little something to say to you at the end, but for now, let's dive in. All right, this is week two in a message series called It's Complicated. So we're talking a little bit about relationships. If you were here last week, you heard us talking a little bit about the five love languages. So what we kind of learned is that each of us has a language that we speak when it comes to love, a way in which we prefer to be communicated to in. So much the same way as you, if your native language was Italian, you would speak to others in Italian. So of these five love languages, we listed them. They are words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. And whichever one of those is primary for you, you will tend to speak to others in your love language. Just the same way if Italian's your native love language, you will speak to others in Italian. The problem is we tend to not marry someone who has the same love language as us, and your partner is never going to feel, this is our big takeaway from last week, your partner is never going to feel loved by you until you say it in their language. That was kind of what we landed on last week. Now this week, we are diving into a scary journey into the male mind. That's where we're headed. That's what we're doing. And let me just say a quick word to you. Actually, before I get into that, let me say a quick word to you if you're single, okay? Some of you are single, you came in here and maybe you're divorced, or maybe you're single again, you just had a breakup, or maybe you're single and you don't want to be single, and you walked into week two of a series on relationships, and you're sitting in that chair right now going, perfect. Great. I want to hit you with this. It's important. If you're single, you're here on the perfect week. Everyone here who's in a relationship is at some point in this series going to wish they had learned this stuff while they were still single. So this is actually the perfect time to be absorbing some of this material. So today we're diving into the scary world of the male mind. We're using as our roadmap a book by a woman named Shanti Feldhahn. And what she did, this woman, pretty smart, Harvard graduate, Wall Street analyst, realized one day she doesn't understand the way her husband thinks. She sort of was looking at him and going, why does he get so angry? Why won't he talk to me? What's the matter with him? And she couldn't quite figure out what was going on with him. And talking to a few of her other married female friends, she noticed some correlations. So what she did was she decided to take a scientific approach, and she surveyed more than 1,000 men and asked them a pretty simple questionnaire about how they felt about certain things, kind of collated the data, shared this information with her friends, and eventually published a book called For Women Only, A Secret Guide to the Inner Workings of the Male Mind. And that book sold like 2 million copies. That was a big deal, okay? And then she flipped it and did the same thing for guys to help guys understand women, and that's where we're going next week. That'll be scary, okay? So that's... But for today, into the workings of the female mind. So the first thing that you might... ladies in the room, the first thing you might not know about the guy you're with, men are typically just as insecure as women are. We just manifest those insecurities in different ways. Guys are usually just as insecure as women are. We just manifest it differently. I read a story once by Fred Smith, who was the once CEO of FedEx. He was the CEO of Federal Express. And he told a story about something that happened to him while he was still in middle management. One day, late in the day on a Friday afternoon, his boss grabbed him and said, "Smith, I want to see you first thing Monday morning in my office," and just walked away. And that was Friday afternoon, and from Friday afternoon till Monday morning, he couldn't think about a single thing. He was obsessed. It ruined his weekend. The whole weekend, he was just perseverating on this. Like, what did I do wrong? Am I going to get fired? It can't be good. It can't be a good thing. If it was good, he would just told me. Am I going to get fired? Did I screw something up? Did I make a huge mistake? Am I getting let go? Am I getting downgraded? Have I been demoted? And so the whole weekend, he's not sleeping well. He doesn't really feel like eating. He's surly. He's short with everyone. He's kind of grumpy. And his wife, the whole time, didn't recognize him. Like, his wife is looking at him like, "What's wrong with you?" And of course, he didn't tell her what was going on. He just sort of kind of drilled down and kind of shut into his own little world and just looked like he was really aggravated. So his wife is left guessing, going, "Well, maybe he's got indigestion. I don't know, you know." And the whole weekend, he's just, but he's, what was happening in him? He was manifesting insecurity, okay? His whole well-being was called into question. For a guy in this position, if I lose my job, if I lose my ability to support my family, it's a status thing, it's a provider thing. There's all this stuff had been stirred up in him in that moment, and he was feeling very, very insecure, and that was his way of manifesting it. Now, when he got to work Monday morning, first thing, obviously, he wanted to get this over with and find out what it was because he'd been thinking about it all weekend. He went directly to his boss's office, knocked on the door, said, come in. He walks in the door, said, you wanted to see me, sir? And his boss looks at him and says, what? And he says, you said you wanted to see me first thing in the morning. He goes, I'm sorry, Smith, I don't remember what that was about. Have a great day. Just dismiss him. I know. Now everybody in the room is like, oh, snap, I will murder somebody if that happened. Right? You'd kill somebody if that happened to you because you know what that's like to have something hanging over you like that, to have something like that lurking in the distance, just waiting for you, that a difficult conversation, and you just want to get it over with. And now between point A and point B, you're stuck waiting for it to and then, so what happens, ladies, is when guys are in that in-between space, when our insecurities have been stirred up, we manifest those insecurities in different ways than you do, and you probably don't always recognize it as insecurity, but that's exactly what's going on. Now, that is something you guys can help us with. Ladies, that's something you could give us some help with, because one of the primary findings in this book, it was really, really interesting stuff, one of the revelatory things that the author learned in her questionnaire was that the male need for respect is just as powerful as the female need for love. So let me illustrate that. If we had everyone in the room now stand up, and we took all the chairs out of the room, and we gathered you all towards the center of the room, we packed you in as tight as we could in the center of the room, and I said to you, all right, church, we have one of two unfortunate scenarios. You are gonna have to spend the rest of your life in one of two undesirable situations. And you get to choose which one. You are either going to have to spend the rest of your life feeling alone and unloved, or you're going to have to spend the rest of your life feeling inadequate and disrespected. Sorry, but one of those two things is going to be true for you, and you get to choose. So here's what's up. If you would rather spend the rest of your life feeling alone and unloved, move to that wall. And if you'd rather spend the rest of your life feeling inadequate and disrespected, move to that wall. If we did that experiment according to the data, the lines would be very sharp. Maybe not in every situation, but in the vast, vast majority of instances, all of the women in the room would move to that wall, and all of the men in the room would move to that wall. Because I do want to qualify this because it's not true in every situation, but for most women, their worst possible outcome is that they spend the rest of their life alone and unloved. That is the worst possible thing for many women that they could imagine, so they would prefer 10 to 1, hands down, they prefer to feel inadequate and disrespected. Nobody wants to feel either of these things. These are both bad things, but given the choice, most women would choose to feel inadequate and disrespected all day long if they didn't have to feel alone and unloved. And most men would do the exact opposite. Most men would move to that wall because they would rather feel alone and unloved than inadequate and disrespected. And what would happen is, both genders would line up on opposite sides of the wall, and everybody in the room would be looking across the room at their counterpart going, are you kidding me? You're joking. All the women in the room would be looking at guys like, you would rather feel alone and unloved than inadequate and disrespected? And all the guys would be looking across the room going, you'd rather, nobody would understand. Now, this was very telling. This was very interesting. Another significant point coming out of the data. There were many men in the questionnaire who were not able to differentiate between those two things. They literally couldn't tell the difference between alone and unloved and inadequate and disrespected. Let me break that down for you, ladies. The man you're with will never feel loved by you if he doesn't feel respected. He will never feel loved by you if he doesn't feel respected. That need is profound in him. So what that needs is you're gonna have to tell him and you're gonna have to show him a little bit. So let me give you an example, okay? Because from time to time, you're going to have obstacles in your relationship. There will be things that you have to get around. It's a little easier now because we have GPS, but do anybody remember the days before GPS when you actually had to have directions for places? And, it's a little older, but a longstanding, you know, kind of maxim that guys don't like to ask for directions. So if life is like directions, you know, if life is trying to get somewhere, ladies, there are going to be times when you know exactly where to go and you know exactly what turn to make to get yourselves to the direction that you're going to in the quickest, most efficient manner. You will see it clear as day, and your man is just going to need like an extra day or two to figure it out. Okay? Now, if you give him some time and you help him and you're supportive, he will figure it out. And when he does, you're going to have a choice to make. When he does eventually figure it out, you'll have a choice to make. You can, in that moment, look at him and go, really? It took you 2 days to figure that out? You're an idiot. A child could have seen that coming. I knew this 2 days ago. That's not what you want to do. When he finally figures it out, when he finally comes around and arrives at the conclusion that you have seen clearly for at least 48 hours, what you want to do in that moment is look at him and go, honey, I can't believe you figured that out. How did you do that? You are such a big, strong man. Say things like that to him in that moment. And when you do, he will look at you and he'll say, I did good. Thank you. Okay? That's what he'll do. Because he will appreciate it, okay? Believe me, his need, it's funny, but it's true. His need to feel respected by you is profound. He has a profound need to feel respected by you. So if you are critical of him, if there are times in your life when you're critical, if you tend to be critical of him, if you are constantly eroding his well-being by questioning his judgment, it is going to do things to him that he himself does not have a good vocabulary to talk to you about it with. He won't even know what to say. It'll just mess with him at a base level. And ladies, please, whatever you do, don't ever criticize him in public and definitely not in front of other men. Never criticize your husband in front of other men. A man's desire and a man's ability to stand up among his peers and be counted as equals among one of the guys, that is a primary thing for a man. And if he feels like you're eroding his well-being or criticizing him in that environment, you're doing damage to your relationship. You're probably doing things you don't mean to do it. You're not intending. No, maybe you do, but you probably don't mean to do it. But you're eroding the relationship in a profound way. He needs to know that you respect him. He needs to know that he makes you feel safe. He needs to know that he's home for you. So it's kind of a primary thing. So we have these, they're like reservoirs. There's like these tanks that we have inside of us which the love languages fill up. So if we're thinking of the male need for respect as a love language, think of it as affirmation, attention, affection, the things that you do for him that make him feel wanted and respected. That's like a reservoir. When those tanks run low, and this is human nature, this is true for men and women. When those tanks get low, when that reservoir runs low, we will look to see it filled somewhere else. Did you follow that? Human nature. This is how affairs begin. This is how affairs begin. So I'm going to read you some scripture. This is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 7. And this is, we're reading a proverb that is talking about a woman who is trying to seduce a man who is very foolishly kind of lurking and lingering outside her house. This is Proverbs chapter 7, beginning at verse 14. I've just made my peace offerings and fulfilled my vows. You're the one I was looking for. I came out to find you, and here you are. My bed is spread with beautiful blankets, with colored sheets of Egyptian linen. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink our fill of love until morning. Let's enjoy each other's caresses, for my husband is not at home. He's away on a long trip. He's taken a wallet full of money with him, and he won't return until later this month. So the woman in this proverb, what's the first thing she does? She affirms him. She says, you're the one I was looking for. You're the one I've been waiting for. It's you. The first thing she does is affirm him and make him feel wanted. Often, this is how an affair begins. A huge percentage of the time, when somebody steps out on their spouse, it isn't to connect with somebody who is more attractive than their spouse. It's often to connect with somebody that finds them more attractive than their spouse does. Did you follow that, or did that go by too quick? If a man steps out on his wife, it is often not to get with a woman who's more attractive than his wife. It's often to get with a woman who finds him more attractive. Same thing for a woman. If a woman steps out on her husband, it's often because she met somebody who finds her attractive. And what happens then is people start talking, and it starts innocently enough. Oh, we just got coffee. We connected on social media. We sat together. And then the following sentence will come. You can count on it, okay? If there's going to be an affair, if someone's going to wreck a marriage, here comes the line. They just made me feel so alive. You've heard that before, right? You've heard that before, and that person isn't lying, they mean it. All of a sudden, something within them, long dormant, has been awakened because this, whatever it was, has died. Because nobody's speaking each other's love languages, nobody's replenishing each other's reservoir, our need to feel loved and wanted, and for men to feel respected. So these reservoirs run dry, and then somebody else pays attention to us. Somebody else makes us feel wanted. Someone else makes us feel attracted, and all of a sudden, whoa, it's like fireworks. So what happens is, in moments like this, this is where we need to do some preemptive work. This is where, for each of us, we need to make sure that we're speaking each other's love languages and that our reservoirs are full. Ladies, this is a need for your husband, not just, and look, some of this is why sex is so important to men. Now, I know the caricatures. I've seen the sitcoms. I've seen the movies. I understand the idea. All right, the male sex drive is a thing, and guys only care about one thing, and guys are just dogs. All they want is to go. I get it. I've heard it. I understand that. What the sitcoms miss and what the movies miss and what that caricature misses is what's beneath the drive. This isn't, ladies, believe me, this isn't just biological. This is emotional and spiritual. Sex is a spiritual thing. This was created by God for marriage. So for your husband, this is not just a physical need, but he probably doesn't know how to talk to you about it. He himself may not fully understand it. So what that means is your husband is never going to say to you, sweetheart, if we could be intimate together today, it would address my need to feel adequate in life, respected. It would help my emotional and spiritual well-being and fulfill me, not just physically, but wholly as a person. He's never going to say that to you. He's just going to say, hey, you want to go upstairs? That's what he's going to do. And guys, we need to do a better job initiating, okay? But that's a whole nother deal. He's just going to say that, okay? Because he himself doesn't quite know how to put words to it. But ladies, understand this. When you respond to that passively, when you go, I'm not into that. I don't want that. When going with him to the bedroom becomes a chore for you, you're saying you don't want it, but he is hearing that you don't want him. You're saying you don't want it. He is reading that you don't want him. And that messes with him in places he does not know how to express to you. He doesn't know how to say it. He'll just go, okay. And that'll be the end of it. And maybe it'll be, however the mechanics of your marriage work, your relationship work, however it shakes out for you, it will. But he will have received something in that moment. His job, when temptation comes his way, and we understand we live in a world packed with temptation, yes? For everybody, men and women. And it's ground well covered that men are stimulated visually, right? So what that means for men, and I, having a male mind, going to seminary and becoming a pastor does not eradicate the male sex drive, so I have to struggle with this just the same way you do. Thank you for that mercy clap. Okay, so I have to struggle with this the same way you do. So what that means for me is that when I'm in the mall, and I'm walking in the mall, and I walk past the Victoria's Secret store, and there's a 10-foot tall supermodel in a bra, you know, in the window, and she's looking right at me. My job in that moment is to not go, huh. My job in that moment is to think of my wife. My job in that moment is to think of the wife that God gave me. She is God's gift to me. She is my sole sexual outlet. So my wife is my sole legitimate sexual outlet, the sole outlet for my desires. Those are moments when I need to think of her. So when the temptation comes in whatever shape it takes, and it's all over the place, on sitcoms, on TV, in movies, on billboards, everywhere you look, there's temptation, okay? So when that happens, my job is to think of her. Ladies, you are your husband's sole legitimate outlet for his sexual desires. His job when he is tempted is to think of you. When someone else affirms him, he needs to go to thoughts of you. When someone tempts him, he needs to go to thoughts of you. You'll help him by not making that difficult. Don't make it difficult for your husband to think of you in those moments. So right now, some of you are getting uncomfortable and some of you are squirming in your seats. I'm watching you. I'm loving this. Okay. And some of you are horrified. There's at least a few of you in the room like, really? I can't believe we're talking about this in church. Yeah, we're talking about it in church. We don't talk about it in church enough. This is a big part of our spiritual lives. I mean, sex doesn't take up an inordinate amount of time during the week, but the space that it fills is packed with meaning for the rest of our days of the week. So what goes on between us has profound spiritual impact. Now, some of you ladies in the room, you're already uncomfortable and you're like, I don't feel comfortable in my own skin. Maybe you have some intimacy stuff going on and maybe you don't feel attractive. You don't feel, you know, sexy or whatever, and you don't feel like there's anything you can do to be, you've never been that ideal, and which is, the ideal is stupid. I mean, there's only like 8 women in the world that look like supermodels, and even they don't look like supermodels. Have you ever seen supermodels without their makeup and without the lighting? It's a whole nother thing. I read somewhere once that if Barbie were a real human, she'd have to walk on all fours. Like the proportions are just all wrong. So look at, some of you are, you've put yourself up against an unrealistic ideal, and the resulting situation is that you don't feel attractive or you don't feel sexy or whatever. Ladies, look it. Let me say something to you that your husband may not, again, have a good vocabulary for. Your husband finds you more attractive than you could possibly know. He finds you, trust your pastor on this. He finds you way more attractive than you know. He may not be able to tell you. He may not express it the right way. Guys, work on your words a little. I don't know why. This is a weird thing. I'll talk to God about this when I get to heaven, perhaps. I don't know why this is, but many women are fed by words of affirmation, and many men are nonverbal. I don't know why God set us up that way, but that's just how it seems to be. So guys, work on that. But if you're here today, if you're a woman and you just, you know, that whole idea of doing things in the bedroom that would be attractive to him, look at, when you enter that relationship passively, you erode his well-being. When you take an active role in that, when you pay attention to that, it does things for him that go way beyond the physical. It helps him to feel wanted, and it helps him to feel respected, and he is never going to feel loved by you if he doesn't feel respected. That's the whole shooting match for him. Our marriages are called ultimately to be a reflection of Jesus Christ's love for us. Jesus's love for us is sacrificial. Jesus comes and gives his life to pay the penalty for our sins, to stand in as a sacrifice. He says, I'm laying down my needs, I'm laying down my rights to love you and to serve you. We are each of us, men and women, called to lay down our rights to love and serve one another. The perfect marriage is the marriage where both people are obsessed with making sure the other person is served and balanced and happy and where everyone's reservoirs are full. The trouble is our human nature gets in the way somewhere along the way and we get things messed up and mixed up. So ladies, for this week, I hope at the very beginning you at least have some good conversations. Maybe wait till the kids aren't in the car, but have some good conversations about this. Talk about some of this stuff. And look, some of you guys, maybe you're gonna drive home and you're gonna go, he had it exactly right. Everything he said is true for me. That's what's up. And some of you guys might be going, yeah, you know, actually some of that stuff, that's actually not true in my case. But wherever you are in that, at least you'll be talking about it. For a lot of us, we don't talk about this stuff. It just creates tension and it creates discomfort. And now we're talking to each other passive aggressively. And what happens in the bedroom, like it affects every other asset, every other aspect, every other facet of our marriage, of our relationship. It's huge. So start talking about it and make it your business, ladies. Whether in the bedroom, outside the bedroom, make sure the man you're with feels respected, because he is never gonna feel loved by you if he doesn't feel respected. Next week, things get a lot scarier. I thought the male mind was actually pretty simple. That's just because I have one, I suppose. But next week, we'll see what happens. All right, pray for me. All right, let's bow our heads. God, we love you. We thank you for being so good to us. We thank you for the chance you've given us this morning to connect with you, to hear from you. Father, guide us as we look to serve one another, as we look to have marriages that reflect your love for your church. Sacrificial. Father, cause us. Father, for every woman in the room, cause her to relate to her husband or her fiance or whomever in a way that causes him to feel respected. And Father, for every man in the room, cause him to relate to her in such a way that she feels loved and valued and honored. Make us a church full of people who lay down our rights for the sake of serving the other as Jesus did so for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks once again for taking the time to listen. It's an honor to have you with us. If you'd like to support our church financially and help us continue to put this content out there for free, that would be a really big deal to us. We're completely supported by the contributions of the people that come to our church. And if you'd like to help, you can do that online at truenorthchurch.net/give, or you can do it with a text message. Just text the word True North to 77977 on your cell phone, and you'll get a prompt leading you through how to do that. Thanks again for dialing in. See you soon. Bye-bye.